A few weeks back, we spoke of losing our identity, forgetting who we are. And sometimes that's possible because the world is trying to identify us, trying to tell us who we are. But sometimes, personally, we forget how we are to behave. We forget what manner of spirit we are of. Have you ever not acted like yourself? At least we'd like to believe we haven't acted like ourselves. Oh my, that temper tantrum, that was so not me. I don't know who that woman was, but let's get her out of the house quickly. Have you ever worn an outfit that is just so not you? It was on sale. You couldn't resist it. It was such a good price. It was in. Everybody was wearing it, so you got it. And you decided to wear it one day, and you felt like an idiot. And everything malfunctioned in it. And you're just thinking, you know, I can't do this. I love gaucho pants, but I wore them in 1977. I tried them on the other day, and I just looked in the mirror and said, you know what? Cheryl, you cannot do this. It is beyond you. You already did this. You are not to do this again. Now, I saw other women my age who look absolutely darling in those things. But it's not for me. Have you ever ordered a food totally out of your taste? And you don't know why you ordered it, and it comes, and you say, I don't even like this. What was I thinking when I looked at the menu? I remember doing that one time because I'm very predictable, just like my father. And I was with Brian, and Brian said, why did you order that? You're not going to like that. And I wanted to show him that I am an independent woman of mystery. And I remember ordering that item on the menu, and when it came, I took one bite, and he's looking at me. He's got that smile that twists up the right side of their mouth. And he's saying, you don't like it, do you? I hated it. Have you ever said something that was so out of character? And you said, I can't believe it. Maybe you volunteered for something that is just not you. It's not something that you do. Have you ever said something so stupid you can't believe that you said it and it's so not like you because you only speak intelligent things? When one of my children was young, and see, I have to be so diplomatic in these things because, you know, there are a couple of them that are listening now to the whatever they are after it's done, whatever is done. And they listen to them, and they have said, keep our names out of your studies or else. So one of my children, I used to always say to this child, you don't want to act like this. This is so not you. You don't want to behave like this. I know you. This isn't you. But one time when we were having one of our classic dialogues, I didn't say that. And about an hour later, I heard just this crying, this deep, deep crying coming out of their room. And I knocked on the door and I said, are you all right? And they said, no, no, I'm not. So I went in the room and they said, you always say this isn't me. You always say I don't really act like this, but you didn't say it. You think I've become this. Now you think I'm really like this. And I assured them, no, 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 you're really not like that. But often we don't act like ourselves because we're afraid. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of loss of livelihood, loss of ease, loss of a possession, loss of personal enjoyment. There are times that we put on airs. I remember one of my children used to say, yes, I'm going to Hawaii. But there are those times that we put on airs. Oh, yes, is that what's going on in your life now? We tense up because we're afraid or something is happening. And you know, when we're tense, we do not act like ourselves, do we? That tension just begins to dominate how we act. Or when we're irritable, a small toothache or a trial that just keeps nagging at us, so we don't act like ourselves. And we don't act like ourselves when we forget who we are. And we don't act like ourselves when we forget what we are here for. And we don't act like ourselves when we get afraid of men. James and John, in Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 56, they forgot. They forgot what they were supposed to be, what they were really like. When Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, he wanted to stop at this little village in Samaria. And the Samaritans came out and they said, "No, you're headed for Jerusalem. We don't want you in our village. We don't want you in our city. Unless you can make a commitment to us, we don't want you." And James and John turned to Jesus and they said, "Do you want us to call down fire from heaven? You want us just to consume them?" And Jesus said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy the world, but to save the world." Daniel knew what manner of spirit he was of. Daniel knew that he was called to be a light in a dark place. And Daniel was in an extremely dark place. You know, often we think we're surrounded by darkness. But I want you for a moment to imagine the darkness of the court of Nebuchadnezzar. Every day, the wine and the meat that was in the court was presented, dedicated by ceremony to the false deities of Babylon. Every day, there was this ceremony in which the meat and the wine was brought forth, put before the idols, consecrated, dedicated, given to these idols of Babylon. Every day, King Nebuchadnezzar strutted about that court as a god. He was an absolute monarch. He could do whatever he pleased, whenever he pleased. He was a law unto himself. No generals could stop him. No advisors could influence him. No one could annul his decrees, and no one could escape his wrath. Every day, Daniel was dealing with sorcerers who cited incantations, practiced witchcraft, and consulted with the dead. Every day, Daniel had to intermingle with magicians, men who sought the occult and talked to demons. Every day, Daniel dealt with astrologers, men who looked at the stars and predicted the future by the stars. Chaldeans who served and taught all about the Babylonian gods and sought to proselytize others into the Babylonian religion. Every day, the heathen culture of Babylon and the literature of Babylon darkened the environment that Daniel was in. But in the midst of this pagan environment, Daniel did not indulge in the court. Daniel did not isolate himself from the court. Daniel did not insult the court. And Daniel did not invoke the judgment of God against the court and their horrid practices. Daniel simply shined. That's what he did. He simply shined so that the wisdom that was in Daniel by God shone 10 times brighter than anyone else in that court, with the exception of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel kept his light bright by fellowship and accountability with godly men. He kept his light bright by prayer, keeping in touch with God. He kept his light bright by praise. And praise is when we remember and recount the greatness, the goodness, and the accessibility of our God. He kept his light bright by studying the Word of God, because Daniel knew what manner of spirit he was of. He was of the light. So Daniel acted like a light. He shone the brightest in this dark place. Light has the capacity to reveal secrets. Isn't it funny how when it's dark in your room, you can think all sorts of things are going on in your room? You can think that there's somebody under your bed, and now they've gotten out, and now they're standing over you. And then you turn the light on and you realize you're in an empty room. But light brings to reality what really is and what is not. I remember as a child just being so afraid of the dark. Any of you afraid of the dark? I was just so afraid of the dark. I loved to sleep with the light on because I was sure that my dolls were coming alive and just ready to suck my blood. I'll tell you, that's a story of disobedience. I was not allowed to watch TV at night, but my parents had left it in my room, so I turned it on and watched Night Gallery. And it was all about this doll that took this little girl's blood, and they didn't understand why she was all pale and dead in the morning. And so I was so afraid of my dolls. I mean, I literally had a fear of Barbie. I don't know what they call that, Barbie-a-phobia. And my mom didn't understand why one day she came in my room and all my dolls were just torn apart. She said, honey, what went on? I didn't like them anymore. They had a mean look. In Night Gallery, their fingernails were all red. Oh, it was horrid. So really what I did is I destroyed just the ones with the dark fingernails, because those were the ones I know that had been in my room before. But light reveals secrets. It brings to light the secret things, the things that are hidden. Jesus said that the time is coming when every secret will be known and shouted from the rooftops. Because he is the light. He reveals secrets. Light brings hope, doesn't it? Have you ever had insomnia at night and you hear a noise and you're scared and you just can't wait till the morning? You're just so excited for morning to dawn and the sun to come up. In fact, you're waiting for it at 4:30 a.m. just saying, come on, you can do it. You can do it. But light brings so much hope. It's a new day. It's a new dawn. Light leads. How many times have you just followed the light? Light purifies. And light, again, shows what reality is. And Daniel brought this light to the heathen court. Daniel shined in that he sought to save, as a light, the wise men of Babylon. He petitioned Arioch, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king and I will tell the king the interpretation. What an opportunity Daniel could have had to promote himself. He could have just waited. Okay, that's another wise man down. That's three down. Four down. Arioch, I think I've got something you might want to know. How tempting that would have been just to wait till most of the wise men had met their doom before he interceded on their behalf. But Daniel, as light, sought to save others, even those who promoted darkness, and even those who were in the greatest darkness. Daniel, when he was brought before the king, firstly pointed to the darkness that was already in the king's court, the darkness that couldn't help, the darkness that was blinding the king from the truth and from reality. Daniel brought to bear the inability of man's wisdom, the inability of man's ability to know the future, the inability of man's spirituality, the inability of man's incantations and strivings, the inability of man's religions, man trying to reach God, the inability of man to help in the time of troubling times, the inability of man to answer the deepest questions of life. And Daniel said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. It's not in them, king. They have no light, so they cannot declare what is in the light or what is of the light. Daniel then pointed to the God of light. Over and over again through the scriptures, God is referred to as light. In James 1:17, James refers to God as the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. In 1 John 1:5, John declares, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So Daniel said to King Nebuchadnezzar, there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, a God of light, and he has made known to the king what will be in the latter days. There is a God. There is a God. He is, and everything else isn't. This God is in heaven, in the dwelling place of light. This God reveals secrets, brings secrets to the light. This God has brought light to you. He has made known to you the future. And this God knows what is your thought process, what you're thinking about. He knows everything that is in the darkness. Daniel pointed next to the accessibility of the light. He said, it's not dispensed to me because of my worthiness or because I'm the wisest man of all, but it's been given that you might know God. Oh, what a place this was of self-promotion for Daniel. How easily he could have said, you know, I've got the light. God gave me the light. He didn't give these men the light or you the light. And you know, you better treat me nice because I got the light. Instead, he said, you know, I'm no better than anyone else, but I serve the God of light. It's about God. It's about the Father of lights, and he gives light to anyone who asks. In John chapter 1, John says, he is the light of the world, and he gives light to all that come in the world. In other words, Jesus, as the light of the world, gives the same opportunity to every man to come to the light. Jesus is accessible to every man, woman, and child on this earth. Then Daniel brought to light the king's dream. He said, King, you saw a great image, excellent in splendor, awesome in form, and it stood right before you. It had a head of gold. It had arms and chest of silver. It had hips and thighs of bronze. It had legs of iron, and it had feet of clay and iron. But the clay and the iron did not mix well together. And as you were looking at this image, you saw a great stone, uncut with hands, come and smash the image right at the feet, and the whole image toppled over and was ground to powder and mixed together. And the wind came and blew it away, so there was no trace left of it. Then that same stone that crushed the statue became a great mountain and filled the entire earth. Daniel brought to light the meaning of the dream, that the kingdoms of this world will all be toppled. And we see that history has pointed out that that's exactly what happened. Babylon was overthrown by Persia. Persia was overthrown by Greece. Greece was overthrown by the Romans. And even as that has come to pass, so the revised Roman Empire is being set up right now. The mixture of iron and clay right now. Living in the United States, we are so insulated from world events. In fact, you really only learn what they're telling you through the news channels. But when we lived in England, we were under the EU. We were under, I want to say, the tyranny of the EU. You pay 17% when you buy an article in taxes. That 17% does not go to England. That 17% goes to the EU. You pay other taxes to England. In fact, 55% of every paycheck goes to the government in England. 55%. 17% of what you buy goes to the EU. When we lived in England, we could not buy cake mixes. Now, that might not seem like a big deal to you. It was to my children. In fact, when I would bake, they would say, Mom, this is almost as good as a cake mix. Thank you. Thank you so much. We couldn't buy macaroni and cheese. You know why? Because our FDA has approved over 1,000 additives to be allowed in foods. The EU has only approved 20. Everything that I bought in England, every toy, every electrical gadget, I didn't buy a whole lot of those. Everything had this CE on it. In fact, now, if you buy these articles, if you buy a Barbie, you will find a CE on it, and it stands for the Economic Community of Europe. And you are not allowed to buy anything that does not have that mark on it already. You cannot sell, if you own a clothing store or a company, you cannot sell your product in England or any of the European countries unless it has that stamp, and you have to pay the EU to get that stamp. You cannot buy or sell. Now, you look at it and you say, look at all these nations. There are more than 10 nations right now in the EU. Yes, there are, but do you know what the EU has done? They have divided Europe and what was formerly behind the Iron Curtain, Hungary, Romania, Czechoslovakia, which is now Slovakia, and Yugoslavia. They have divided that whole area into 10 regions. England got England got in trouble with the EU. England wants to keep exerting its sovereignty. And so when all of Europe went to the EU, guess who refused? England. It was because of Margaret Thatcher. She refused. She said, no, our economy will then be dependent on the EU if we give up our pound. We're going to keep the pound. And do you know what happened? The EU was upset. So what they did and said, we will not recognize London or Parliament as the government of England. And so they put literally millions and millions of dollars into Cardiff, Wales. And now the head of the EU for England is in Cardiff, Wales. And that area, those men in Cardiff are the men that the EU recognizes as the leaders. So they have divided the EU, all of Europe, up into 10 different sections. And they have put their own government and their own leaders in place. But you know what? These leaders aren't getting along. Recently, in an article, when the head of the EU was asked, one of the men in the parliament, what is this? What is the EU? He said, this is nothing less than the revised Roman Empire. The goal of the EU is to have the same boundaries that the ancient Roman Empire had. And the ancient Roman Empire had Israel, the area of Israel. Oh, it's all set up. It's all ready. We are in the time of the iron and clay. But Daniel brought to light the fact that God's Messiah would come and he would hit this image at the feet and he would topple it. Everything that Daniel predicted has come true with such accuracy that men have tried to say that Daniel was written in the time of Christ. And that's why he was able to predict each empire. But that's not true. I told you the first or second week, I lose track of time. When that was, it will come to pass. As it says in Revelation 11:15, and this is the song we will sing in heaven. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That is what will transpire. Daniel brought reality to light that all the kingdoms of this world are transient. They are passing one down to the other. Not one of them can endure. Not one of them could stand. He brought to light that all the kingdoms of this world are troubled. As you look at each one of these governments, you see that they were troubled. They represent all different types of governments. Nebuchadnezzar ruled as a monarch, but it was troubled. Persia ruled as an oligarchy, which meant that many men were in leadership and ruled Persia. Greece ruled as an imperial democracy, which means you had four major rulers who brought to the people what was going on, and then they chose. And then you had a democracy with Rome. But we see that every single government was troubled, wasn't it? Daniel brought to light the fact that every government is tending toward decline and deterioration. As you look at the metals used, you start out with gold, wealth, power, the strongest of those metals mentioned. But then you move from that to silver, less wealth, less strength. Finally, you move all the way down to clay and iron, very, very weak. Daniel brought to reality that all the kingdoms of this world will be toppled. They will all be toppled because their foundation is faulty. The rule of man will be toppled. It will be ended. My dad loves to call it the dark time of man's self-government. It is coming to an end. Daniel brought the future to light. As it says in 2 Peter 1:19, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart." Daniel proclaimed the certainty of the light. The dream is certain and the interpretation is sure. Then Daniel led Nebuchadnezzar to the light. Nebuchadnezzar believed and he praised the Lord of light. "Truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret." And Nebuchadnezzar was moved to worship. And Nebuchadnezzar promoted Daniel. Are you behaving like yourself? Are you behaving like light? Ephesians 5:8 says, "Now you are light in Christ. Walk as children of light." Are you behaving as light? Are you seeking the light personally, even as Daniel did? Are you seeking to intercede and to pray for those that are shrouded in darkness? Are you willing to reveal the darkness of man's endeavors to these men who are in darkness? Are you talking about the light? Are you leading others to the light? Our world is shrouded in darkness, but a greater darkness is coming. Jesus said, "We must work the works of light while it is still day, because the night is coming in which no man can work." I think that as believers, we forget that we are light, and we begin to condemn our mission field. We get to the place where we're saying, "Lord, rapture me and do what you want with the rest of the people in this world. That guy cut me off." Jonah was like that. He was upset that the Ninevites responded to the message. So he went outside of town and he set up a little booth for himself and he waited for judgment to fall on those people while he escaped. And the Lord sent this little gourd up that shaded Jonah. And then the Lord allowed a worm to destroy that gourd. And Daniel was so upset. And God said, "Daniel, you have more compassion on a gourd than you do for these people who do not know their right hand from their left. I have compassion for the Ninevites." We forget that we serve the God that so loved the world, looked at it shrouded in darkness, and sent the light to that world to save men. We forget, yes, I want to be raptured. Yes, I can't wait for the rapture. Absolutely, I want to sing the songs of heaven. But when I look at this world and people that are going to hell and everlasting judgment and everlasting darkness, I cry. I remember walking the streets of England saying, Lord, our church is so little. We're in this little school. Nobody knows us. Nobody knows we're light. And these people are going to hell. I can't take this. It hurts too much. And the Lord said, now you know how I feel. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all could come to the light. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why he sent Jesus. We need to shine as lights. The tribulation, the night is coming. When those toes are in power, the world will be in such trouble. There will be anguish and fear on every side. There will be pain without relief. There will be unbridled cruelty, rape, robbery, rage, and riots. There will be rampant disease and filth. There will be dangers never even imagined by Stephen King. Demonic beasts rising from the abuso. Creatures that have been reserved in deep pits because of their terrifying and cruel natures. They will be unleashed. There will be nuclear fallout. And everything that man has ever trusted in or prided himself in, he will find that it is transient. It has passed. It has been troubled. It has deteriorated, and it is toppled. You see, men need the light. They need the light. And we cannot seek to isolate ourselves or invoke the wrath of God or indulge in this world right now. Nebuchadnezzar responded to the light. Now, if I was in that court, he would have been on my most likely not to be saved list. Have you ever had one of those lists? Do you know what's funny? More people on my most likely not to be saved list have gotten saved than the people on my most likely to be saved list. Because I am realizing that those people on your most unlikely to be saved are really the people that are in darkness and know they're in darkness and know that there's no hope. I remember a lady that came to one of our first baptisms in Vista. She tried to pay Brian for baptizing her daughter, and she wanted to pass out little crystals to everybody so we could have happy thoughts and lots of energy. She got saved 2 weeks later. And now when I look at her, because now she's been a Christian for a really long time, it's hard to equate her with that person. In fact, times she would start telling us about her testimony. Oh, yeah, I went to Moon Beach. Yeah, I used to go there naked. We're all like, ah! You know, among other things, we're saying too much information. But you cannot equate her with darkness. You see no shred of darkness in this lady. She is such light. And when she talks about the darkness she was in, we think you're kidding. You were once darkness, but now you're light in Christ. Shine. Shine. God has left us in this world and given us precious minutes because Jesus is coming. We only have a few minutes to shine. That's all that's left of this transient world. That's all that's left. But God has left us here to be a witness, to be a light. As it says in Philippians 2:14-15, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. God has left you here for one purpose, to shine for him, to shine him, to be a beacon, to lead those out of darkness into the light. Have you ever wondered, why are we still here? Why haven't we been raptured yet? They've been talking about this forever. I think things are just getting darker and darker, and they will continue to get darker. And we'll continue to get brighter if we will just shine for Jesus. When Jesus went to Gadara, and I'm closing with this, when Jesus went to Gadara, he met a man that was demon-possessed. In fact, the man was filled with a legion of demons. And Jesus cast those demons out. And then the people of the town came to see this wonder. And they saw this man who had been demon-possessed, and he was clothed, and he was sitting in his right mind. What do you think the reaction of those people were? Wow, can you do this for me? No, they sent Jesus away. In fact, we're told that they begged Jesus to leave. Please leave. Please go away. The man who had been delivered from the legion of demons came to Jesus and said, let me go with you. They don't want you. They're rejecting you. Let me go with you. But Jesus said, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. The next time Jesus went to Gadara, we're told that the multitudes came out to greet him. Why did they come out? Because that man who was filled with the light went back into the darkness and he shined for Jesus. And he shined so brightly that the people of Gadara wanted to know the light of the world. They wanted to see the light of the world. Remember your calling. You are light. You are light. Remember your placement is by God in this dark world. And your job, shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we are light in Christ, that we don't have to try to be light. It is who we are. Lord, I pray that we would be light in this dark place, even as we see everything in this world coming to an end. Even as we see the night fast falling, Lord, we pray that you give us a heart, your heart, that seeks to save and not to destroy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.